Yeah, I got to kiss it. Oh, I might get germs. Yes. Who's enjoying this cooler weather? Oh, not many. No one. Oh, maybe I'm by myself. Yeah, the summer's too hot for me. I like this cooler weather. I see Steve Antonetti's just got a t-shirt on, so he's enjoying the cooler weather. He still thinks it's summertime. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, I'm bringing the word of the Lord today, and I'm talking about a grain of wheat. All right, Kenny, I get the message. He wants me to kiss it the whole time. Just turn it up a bit if you can't hear me. Oh, look at that. We've got a grain of wheat up there. Look, we're in the harvest time. And you know, in John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. So when the wheat is alive, it's alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. There's multiplication in death. It's, you know, God's way, God's kingdom is the opposite to how the world operates. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But in death, there is life. In death, there is life. And you know, the grain is the core. The grain is the center. The grain is the seed. And you know, the grain has three parts. Lots of things in the kingdom of God are in threes. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the grain, I was looking at it, with Google you can find out lots of different things. But the grain, the outside of the grain is the bran. And then there's the germ, which is sort of the inner part. And then there's the endosperm, which is the whole centre of it. But it's made out of three parts. And I was thinking, you know, it's amazing how in the kingdom of God, there's so much in threes. Like even we are three parts. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. There's the inner court, the outer court, and there's the Holy of Holies. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's Passover, there's Pentecost, and there's Tabernacles. And, you know, that's just to name a few of the key ones. But if you go through this, through the Word of God, there's so many things that are in threes. And it's that three, the three that twine together, which give strength. You know, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. Now, you know, that's quite often used in marriage. But, you know, it's when there's that unity, there's strength. Amen. And God has called us to be one. He's called us to be together. He doesn't want you to be a single grain abiding alone. It's through death that brings life. It's through death that brings unity. It's through death that brings strength. And God, with that grain, God separates. It's a process called the threshing process, which separates the grain from the chaff. That takes away the husk. Like if you look at that, you can see in that picture, I know it's blurry, but there's a small grain and all the rest is all the husk. Now the threshing, the way they used to thresh it, they would, you know, would just thresh it on the floor, and then they would lift it up, and then the wind would blow away all the husk, all the chaff. And what is the wind? The wind is the Spirit. The Spirit separates the seed is what is of value. The seed is what is important. The seed is where the life is. The life is in the seed. And the rest of it, all the wrappings, all the trimmings, all the rest of which covers that is taken away. But how is it taken away? Through the threshing, which is painful and it can be traumatic. The threshing process is a violent process. Like they thrash it and beat it, and the husk is broken up and the grain is revealed. So don't think that, you know, if you're going through a tough time and you feel like your life's getting torn apart, that it's not the hand of God upon you. Because God does a work in you. And if there's no work in you, there's no revealing of his life. He wants that seed to be produced in you. And that seed, for everything to be broken off that seed, it can be hard. It can be tough. But it is the hand of God upon you. Don't say, oh, the devil's attacking me, or the devil's doing this, or don't give the devil too much credit. God is doing a work in you. And why does he do a work? Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants that life to come forward. He wants life. His whole desire for his people is life. To be set free, to break. Because what does sin do? Sin separates. Sin brings death. Sin brings destruction. But the way of God is freedom. The way of God is life. And he has called us into life. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has planted his seed in you. He is within you, and he is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what it's all about. Like we come into the kingdom of God, we partake of Christ, he plants his seed in us. And the seed is the cycle of life. The grain grows, it dies, it falls to the ground, and it grows again. And do you know what else that grain of seed? It produces bread. So, you know, the Spirit separates the husk. The grain produces bread. And we need to partake of that daily bread. The bread is our life. The bread is our source. The bread is our sustenance. And it all comes from that seed. Galatians 3, verse 29. If Christ is in you, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, that seed in us. And Matthew, sorry, I'm jumping a bit too quick. Sorry, Matilda. Matthew 3 and verse 12 talks about his winnowing fan. And the winnowing, it says, the winnowing fan is in his hand, and he thoroughly cleans out the threshing floor, and he gathers the wheat into the barn, but the chaff will be burnt with an unquenchable fire. So the winnowing fan, the wind of his spirit blows across, and it separates, and he gathers the seed. He wants that seed. He wants us to be gathered unto him. And anything that's waste, anything that's no good, is taken aside and burnt in that unquenchable fire. So do you want to be blown away and taken off to the one side, or do you want that seed and to be gathered into his barn? I think that's a very easy question. I mean, you want to be in the barn. You want to be gathered. You want to be gathered unto him. Hallelujah. Part of the harvest, part of the kingdom of God. Because God wants to gather his people unto himself. It's been his plan from the very beginning to gather his people unto himself, to draw us into the kingdom. For he so loved the world that he gave his life. He gave his life to draw us back unto him. He gave his life to set us free from the chains of sin. He's broken the curse. He's broken the power of death. The power of death, the power of sin has been broken. Hallelujah. There's a celebration. Celebrate. We were once lost, but we are now found. We were without hope, but we now have hope. There is a way, but there's only one way. There's not many ways. There's only one road. Hallelujah. And you need to walk on that road. You can't make your own path. You can't make your own way to heaven and come and knock on the door. Hey, I'm here. Let me in. There's only one way. Hallelujah. Humble yourself. Fall to the ground and die. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it. He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is opposite to the way of the world. Opposite. Like we were looking at on Wednesday night at Life Group, we were looking of the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh are exactly opposite to the fruit of the Spirit. This is opposite to the way of the world. The way of the world would see it as foolishness, but it is salvation unto those who believe. Hallelujah. But God wants you to separate yourself. He's given you a free will. He's given you a mind. He's put life in you, but it is your choice. It is your choice where you will walk. It's your choice what you do. It's your choice what comes out of your mouth. Don't say, he made me do it, or they made me angry, or because of this or because of that. When you get before the king at the judgment seat, you can't say, well, did you see the way they treated me? Or, you know, try and justify your actions or have some entitlement because of whatever. There's always, God wants you to be responsible. And he demands that you are responsible. You cannot blame. It, like Pastor Dave was in the prayer meeting this morning, he says, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when you've got a log in your own eye. And what is the whole gospel is based upon, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you shall worship the Lord your God. I mean, there it is right there. There's the seed. There's the core. There's the life. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're loving God. You're in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Joshua 24, it talks about, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, they were having foreign gods, they were having idols, they were having all different types of things. And Joshua stood up and made a proclamation. And he was saying about, as for me and my house, it's a choice. Choose you, and he said, choose you this day. Because, you know, I can't say, well, you know, back in 1982, I made a choice to follow God. It doesn't count. What did I choose today? You know, on the 5th of June or whatever the date is today, what did I choose today? It's a daily choice. What you chose to do 10 years ago is irrelevant. What did you choose today? This day, whom will you serve? And every morning when you get up, you have a choice. Whether you consciously are aware of it or not, you have a choice. Do you serve him? Do you worship him? Do you pray to him? Do you give him grace? Do you give him, not grace, do you give him honor? Do you give him glory? He's the one who gives us grace. Hallelujah. But it's a choice. It is a choice. And whether you're aware of it or not, you make choices every day. And you're accountable for your choices. And you know, the Word of God separates. God has given us a free will. But the Word of God is sharp. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides. And we want to be separated. That seed, the grain of wheat, separated from the chaff. And as the winnowing fork comes through, to be separated and to be gathered into his barn. Hallelujah. So if we're in the Word of God, we can live a separated life. Because how does God speak to us? He speaks through His Word. I mean, you can have prophecy, you can have visions, you can have dreams, but primarily the main way that God speaks to us is through His Word. And if you're not reading His Word, how are you listening to Him? You need to be into His Word to hear His voice. Every day, drawing upon His strength, drawing upon His life. And have an ear to hear. What does the gospel say? There's none so deaf as those who will not hear. God speaks the same. It's whether you're hearing His voice. Are you deaf? Do you need a hearing aid? God keeps on talking, just that some people don't hear it. Hallelujah. Yes. Your ears and your eyes, are they open? Are they open to hear? Hallelujah. You know, because the kingdom is about division and separation and lightness and dark, good and evil, life and death, spirit and the law. You know, that's another thing we're looking at on Wednesday night, the spirit. The spirit gives life, but the law will lead us unto death. God has sent His spirit to put in us. He puts His life in us. We are body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. Those three parts. And you know, God is a jealous God. There's only one way. There's not many ways. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, I think I've got that somewhere. Exodus 20. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above or on the earth beneath. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God. He wants all of our worship. He wants all of our heart. He wants all of our life. He doesn't want 10%, 20%, even 95%. He wants 100%. It's all in. Unless a grain of the wheat falls to the ground and dies, you can't have some life left in you. Unless that grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't bring forth life. It has to die to bring life. And in death, there's not part life. There's not a little bit, you know, I'm still wriggling, I'm still fighting, you know, I've still got one hand, I can still fight. You're dead. There's nothing. There's nothing. Your mouth is shut. You're not arguing your point. You're not saying, did you see what they did? No. You've humbled yourself. You've given up. You've said, God, I'm doing it your way. Yes. And God wants to dwell amongst His people. His whole plan and His whole purpose is to dwell amongst His people, to be in community, to be family. We call Him Father God. He is our Father. We are His children. We are family. We are the family of God. And you know, right back in Genesis chapter 3, God called out, He said, Adam, where are you? Now that was immediately after the fall, after they'd partaken of the fruit of the tree of life, which they weren't allowed to touch. And they were hiding. And in the cool of the evening, when God was walking through the garden, He said, Adam, where are you? Because sin had separated him from God. God wants to be one. He wants to be in communion. He wants relationship. And by partaking of evil, it separated Adam and Eve. God knew where they were, but they were separated from Him. That relationship, Adam says, well, we were naked, we were hiding. God said, who told you were naked? They were naked all the time, but they didn't know it. They were just one with him and unashamed. And, you know, even going forward from there with Moses, we know that the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, and they'd been there for 400 years. And God called Moses. And where was Moses? He'd run away. He'd killed an Egyptian, and he'd run away, and he was a shepherd for his father-in-law. He was a shepherd looking after the sheep, and he's out there one day, and in the distance he can see a fire. And as he gets closer, he can see a burning bush, but it's not consumed. But there's a fire there, but the bush is not being burnt. And he thinks to himself, I'm going to go and have a closer look. And as he gets closer, he hears the voice, Moses, Moses. And he said, who are you? He says, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not come any closer. Take off your shoes, for the ground you are standing is holy ground. And when they hid his face, he would not look. He was in fear. And he was called to draw the people out. God went through and gave him quite a long spoke to him about what he wanted to do, how he wanted to go back and see Pharaoh and to bring the people out by his mighty hand. And God said, well, who will I say that sent me? And he said, I am. I am sent you. I am. And God, that's the same God today. That's the same God. He wanted to draw his people out of... He didn't want his people in captivity. He didn't want his people in slavery. And he had a plan. He knew that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. And he knew that he would bring all those plagues and curses. And at the end of it, it was Passover. And the angel of death passed over. And it's the same today. If we partake of the blood of Jesus, the angel of death will pass over. Because what's the power of sin? The power of sin is death. The power of sin is death, and death separates from life. And God, through his Son, has given us life. He's given us life. And it's eternal life. It's not just life for 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years. It's eternal. Which you cannot measure that. You can't say, well, there's the light at the end of the... There's no end. It goes on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he called them out by his mighty hand. He separated the sea, and he took his people out of bondage, and he was leading them to the promised land. And it's the same today. God is calling us out of bondage and leading us to the promised land. He's put his seed, that seed of Abraham. That seed of Abraham is in us. The seed of Christ is in us. He's put his life, he's put his spirit. And he's put his spirit to set us free. It's all about being broken, that chains and the power of sin and death to be broken off our life and to give us freedom. And it's a daily choice. It's not something that happened once. You know, some of those people that walked through the Red Sea were swallowed when the ground opened up because they made wrong choices. You can have your salvation, you can be taken out of Egypt, but you can fall away if you make a wrong choice. And even Moses did not get in to see the promised land, because with that rock, he struck the rock. Hallelujah. He could see it from afar, but he never set foot on it. So, you know, God is a just God. He calls you out. He wants you to be free, but he needs you to worship him. You have to worship him. You have to love him. You have to adore him. And you have to let go of hurt. let go of pain. That threshing floor is to separate the husk, to separate the chaff, so that can go off to be burned and the seed can be gathered into the barn. Hallelujah. Do you want to be gathered in? Do you want to be part of the kingdom? Hallelujah. That's where the life is. Hallelujah. And you know, when Moses brought the people out, God gave Moses a plan how to build the tabernacle. And you know, but the tabernacle was so he could dwell amongst his people. And that's his plan hasn't changed. He wants to dwell amongst us. And you know, where the tabernacle was built, there was 12 tribes of Israel. And when they set the tabernacle out, the tribes, there was 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, and 3 on the west, which meant the tabernacle was right in the middle. And that's where Christ wants to be. He wants to be in the center. Yes. He doesn't want to be in the back closet that's open on a Sunday morning for a couple of hours and then, you know, you're all happy, clappy and yes, praise the Lord, and then back in the closet until next Sunday or maybe in a couple of weeks or maybe just, I might just go to church once a month this month. He wants to be there every day. Yeah. Every day. In the center. And the center of your life, you can't skirt around it. Like you can't, it's right there in the middle. It has importance, it has value. It's what your life is based upon. Hallelujah. And if you think of it a bit like a wheel, you know, in this day and age there's wheels everywhere, money on your vehicles. But with wheels, they have to be balanced. And if a wheel is out of balance, you know about it. And if Christ is in the center, everything is in balance. If Christ is not in the center, that wheel is out of balance. And Christ is a heavy, like it's the weight. And if you put a heavy weight on one side of your wheel and try and drive, it just won't work. Whoomp, whoomp. It'll just, you'll come unstuck very quickly. So he needs to be in the center. Your life needs to be in balance. John 3, verse 30. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, and I must decrease. I must fall to the ground and die, that he might rise up and have life. And again, that's a daily choice. A daily choice that he might increase. Every day we make choices. Every day there's things that happen. And that choice. Now we can slip up, we can fall, and we all do. We're on a journey, we're on a path, and sin is waiting at the door. Waiting at the door to grab you and say, come with me. Come with me and have some fun. Come with me, like we're going to have a good time together. But there's a cliff. You're walking along and then you fall into the abyss. But Christ is there with his arm, with his mighty hand to divide the sea, to separate the waters that you might walk through on dry ground and find your way to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the promised land. Because he has a plan, he has a purpose. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to be your God. Do you know, we reap what we sow. You know, talking about the seed and we know the parable of the sower, but also a lot of the parables talk about seed and a lot of the way the kingdom of God is described, it talks about grain and harvest. But there's another one, what you reap. You sow what you reap. So the way you treat others, like I spoke at the beginning about the gospel is all wrapped up in loving God and loving one another. And the way you treat one another is the way you will be treated. The way you forgive one another is the way you will be forgiven. The way you love one another is the way you'll be loved. The way you care for one another, it's all about how you treat your brother. If you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love and serve God, and what you sow, you shall reap. And it's eternal. The kingdom of God is eternal. And we're looking for eternal life. We're looking for that to be drawn, to be gathered into his kingdom, to be gathered into his barn. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'd like to encourage you that every day to make that choice, like Joshua. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And even though one day you might slip up and fall, don't just lay there. Don't think, well, it's all over. Get up. Get back on the horse. Keep going. You know, everyone slips up and falls. Like, look at King David. How many times did he slip up and fall? But he was a man after God's own heart. And when Christ talks about King David, does he mention his fall? No. When Christ looks at you, does he judge you? Does he remind you of all your past, all the things? No. He looks to your future. Christ looks to your future. We all have a past. We all have an ugly past that we'd like to forget about. But it's washed away. And Christ washes that away and gives us a fresh start. In him there is hope. In him there is life. In him there is salvation. But the ways of the world is death. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Hallelujah. Let's just stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes. Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your life. I thank you for your seed, for that seed of Abraham that you have placed in each of us. And Lord, I ask today that we would have the strength to choose life. It costs us everything. It's expensive. But Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to pay the price. That when you stand and call, that we would respond to your call. When we hear your word, that we would respond to your word. Lord, when we hear your spirit calling and the flesh is trying to lead us in the opposite direction, that we would follow your spirit, that we would choose life, that we would choose you, that we would choose salvation, and we would be willing to humble ourselves and to pay the price. Lord, that we would not seek glory, that we would not seek fame, that we would not seek the treasures of this world, but Lord, that we would seek your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as a people, we lift our eyes to you. As a people, we take our eyes off the things that are down and we look up to the things above. And Lord, we walk side by side. We walk arm in arm with our brothers and our sisters and we look to you, marching on, marching ever forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be encouraged. He loves you. Hallelujah. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has called you out of darkness into light. He has called you from death to life. But we need to choose every day. Do not be distracted. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Davey. Awesome. Praise the Lord. That was great. Just before we finish, we're just going to have a missions video from Kate. I didn't get an opportunity to share this earlier. So, can we play that before we leave? Before you have your cup of tea?
Good morning, church. Sorry I cannot be there with you guys this Sunday, but I really wanted to share what God has been doing.